who's gonna be teaching the first class. And I'm looking forward to it. And Dave, come on up. Just let us have it. Right out of the Word of God, King James Bible.
Test 1, 2, can you hear me? All righty. Well, as it always is, when you set out to teach one thing, you end up teaching something else. I'll tell you that. You start out, oh, I think I'm gonna do this week, and you get into it, and 20 minutes later, you're going down this road, and also this road, and then you say, okay, I gotta focus this a little bit, then you kind of get focused a little bit. But all of my teachings tend to be about life, your life, how your life can be a witness for God, how you can make a difference in the world, how you can have an impact, and kind of where we take all the learning we get and put it to the road, you know, put it out there to where it makes a difference in the world. Because if we're not making a difference in the world, we're kind of self-centered. That's not what God wants for sure. He wants us to focus on making a difference. He wants us to focus, first of all, and making sure people hear the gospel. That's number one. But beyond that, we need to be ambassadors. We need to be examples. We need to be out there in the world showing the world the positiveness of a relationship with God. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study, to learn. I thank you for being a teacher. I learned so much preparing my lessons, and it gets me focused back into the world. And we ask that you give each of us an opportunity this week to share the love of Christ with somebody in some way, in some small way, in any way that's possible, make a difference in their lives. And if they ask, why am I doing this? Why are you doing this? Share the gospel. Help them to understand how they can have a relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so how we can know God's will in our lives, especially young people, they're always going, boy, what is the will of God for me? What is God's will in my life? Well, we're going to learn about that. We're going to learn that it's not so much being enlightened by a door opening and suddenly seeing a bright light that says, I need to do this, as much as focusing in the right place. And when you're focused in the right place, things happen because of your focus, because of your relationship with God. And how to be effective ambassador for Christ, combination. Because if we're not an effective ambassador for Christ, we're really doing a disservice. We have to think about that, okay? And I know that a lot of times, newly saved Christians are focused sometimes on study, and that's great, very important. But if you're not living what you're studying, if you're not giving it back to the world, if you're not an example to the world, stop and think about it, okay? Because that's very, very important. Not only will you get a blessing from it, because you will, the people around you will get a blessing from it, but you're also going to be an example for them to say, you know, that person's got something. I want to know what it is. What makes you tick? What makes you be the way you are? Okay? I mean, I talked about it many times in this business. When you're in the film business, everybody's pretty much a scoundrel. They're all very self-centered. They're all focused on their own survival. The actors, the actresses, the models, everybody's me, 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 me. Okay? And when you aren't that way, oh, there must be an ulterior motive. What do you want? You know, seriously, everybody's smiling, but that's exactly what people think, is it not? When somebody does something nice to you, you're like, all right, what do they really want? And you start thinking. Now, I don't honestly think that way much. And maybe it's because I'm very naive, perhaps. And maybe I just spent too much time not thinking that way. But you know what? When you share the love of Christ with people by doing, by actions, you can make a big difference. Much more of a difference than talking to them or telling them. You know, be different, stand out. So let's go to our paper here and let's study some things. This is a question that many of us have asked over and over throughout our spiritual journey through life. While most people seem interested in the will of God as it pertains to their personal life, they do not know where to start. Okay? We can all be honest. We've been there at some point. What does God really want me to do with this? How should I focus? Where should I go? What should I do? What does God want me to do? What is my future, etc.? To understand God's will in our lives, we must first put the bigger picture of what God's plan is for believers who are in the body of Christ. Only when we understand and focus on these areas will we begin to see what God has in store for us individually. It starts with the bigger picture. Our focus in the right place is the beginning to finding knowledge and wisdom from God. It is a journey that begins with studying the Bible, rightly divided. We've all had that conversation in here 800 million times, but we can have it again because it's so important. If you do not rightly divide the Word of God, you are going to be confused, you are going to be frustrated, And if you're watching this out there in homeland through the internet, you need to understand what rightly dividing the word of God means. It is a critical element to possibly your salvation, certainly, but definitely for your joy and understanding of your relationship with God. So how to know God's will? The Lord's will is not something we passively wait for. In fact, God's will has already been revealed to the believer through his word. It is understood and clarified through the Bible study. The more you know and understand God's dealing with man, and specifically you, the better you'll see the will of God. This is where we begin. God wants us to learn. It is the cornerstone of our service to him. It starts with knowledge. Let's look at some verses. Let's go to Colossians 1, 9 through 10. Somebody read that for us.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Look how they put those together. He has a desire that we're filled with that knowledge. Look what it says. That you might walk worthy with the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. They go together. The more you know about your relationship to God, the more you know about your standing with God, the more you know about biblical things, the stuff we study, the more you're going to have fruit because it's going to keep you in the right direction. It's very important to understand that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Anybody?
Where he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself.
Those are strong words when you read them. You know, we read through them sometimes, and you know, it happens to me. I'm sitting there studying something, or I'm just reading something, or I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I read these verses and kind of roll over them without even thinking about it. But you realize how important that is to know. You know, made known unto us the mystery of his will. Again, back to rightly dividing. So much is not found in the modern church today. If you're out there and you're going to one of the modern churches, modern denominations, you're going to find there's a lot of confusion because they haven't understood their Bibles. And I'm not talking about changing the Bible. I'm talking about clarifying the Bible. People talk about it as dispensational. You guys are all theological and it's crazy and it's all confusing. It's not. It actually clarifies all the confusion when you actually study and understand dispensational truth. To know the will of God at the bottom of the page involves rightly dividing the word of truth. We must study the Bible correctly or we'll be lost and very confused. Very, very, very important. It is God's good pleasure that we should come to know exactly what the calling is that he has brought us, I'll flip my page here, onto. And this becomes our daily guide. It begins with rightly dividing the Bible. And obviously 2 Timothy 2:15, we've read many times, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, sir.
Let's clarify that again.
Yep.
We're not rightly dividing the Bible.
That's truth. Truth.
We're not rightly dividing the word of God. We're rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's good.
According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
That's a good question. That's okay. Exactly right. It's the word of truth. It's understanding truth. It's understanding our relationship to God today and how that functions and how that works. To follow God's will, to be an ambassador, we begin this by studying and empowering our minds with the word of God. When you make this effort, a wonderful thing happens. Your focus turns off of yourself and onto your relationship with God. If you're feeling lonely, read your Bible. Seriously.
That's true.
You know, if you're feeling disconnected to the world and nobody cares and nobody understands you and my kids are crazy and all this other stuff, read your Bible. You'll be reconnected in very short order and your position will be very, very focused. You begin to think differently and place godly understanding and actions into a higher perspective. You begin to realize God's will through your thoughts and actions because you are focused in the right direction. Anybody out there who wants to know the will of God, get into reading and understanding your Bible, rightly dividing truth, and you'll get a sense of what you need to do. Your skills will come forward. My ability to talk to people, not be uncomfortable with it, and to share my knowledge is a gift. I have no trouble getting up in front of 4,000 people and talking. If they'll give me a chance to talk, I'm going to talk. But for some people, that's very scary. But other people, yes.
One thing that I've been kind of focusing on this week, and those that, because basically we're talking about law and grace, as you're talking about right, you're saying right beside the Bible, but it's right beside the
truth.
Truth.
Once, yes.
Good question. Once faith in Christ alone, what his finished work was, and then the other one is based on the law. And the thing about it is, the will of God is that, you know, those people are trying to function like the fellow that I've been working with, for example. I'm trying to do right. And it seems like God is punishing me. Well, the reason being is he's under a curse.
Yeah.
In other words, he's based on his performance and not Christ's performance. He has it exactly back.
Exactly.
So, in other words, what's the will of God? The will of God is that we are showing people grace.
And that all men come to the knowledge, exactly. Comes through us, through hearing.
It's not selfish. In other words, well, you're understanding, and I'm just growing in wisdom and knowledge. No, that's not it. What it is, in other words, for your personal self. And that's what a lot of people that are trying to get something for themselves.
They are. They're very focused on their needs.
Something to give to others to help free them from the curse.
And the joy, and we'll get into some of this later, but the joy and the peace that it gives you when you understand that, when you're in that position with God, becomes the motivator for all of it. You know, it's like that gnawing sense of disconnection. And if you're listening to this, there's so many people out there, even though they've gone to church forever, they have a gnawing sense of disconnection because they've never rightly divided the truth. And so they're disconnected from God after years and years and years of being in the church. And it's very sad.
You know, I mean, I hate to say this, but you were talking about the people that are so self-centered. You know, sometimes the church people are so self-centered because their religion is forcing them to be selfish.
They're being holier than thou.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. And I did put on a nicer t-shirt today to see where they came in. I did it in my shorts, but I put on a t-shirt with little stripes in it. Because Irma said you need to spice it up a little bit. You're going to go for
a tie.
A tie with this would be nice. Perhaps maybe a red tie, give it a little boldness. The point is, it's not about that. It's not about us. And boy, even if that whole philosophy, even in business, pays off. I mean, I've been in business 40 years, and I take care of my customers. They're more important than me, and they come back. You know, the whole concept, yes, is a wonderful thing.
Aren't you glad it's not about us?
Are you saying something in general?
What you're wearing. I'm just glad it's not based on me or what.
Yeah, exactly. Because and that's the sad part. That's where folks in religion find themselves. They're trying to perform based on a religious standard. And that religious standard is unobtainable because it should never begin to be there. That's not the relationship we should have with God. And they live very, very unhappy. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 real quickly. This is where we need to be understanding the importance of this. Anyone? 17, 18.
Yeah, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints.
How simple, yet how important, to know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is our position today in Christ? Where are we with God? How did we get there? Where's the focus? What did Jesus do? Okay, remember how many Bible versions changed the words to take from the faith of Jesus to our faith in Jesus. There's a huge difference. It's not a huge difference. It's a life or death difference when you don't see that, when you don't understand that. And that's where religion finds itself. I've got it written down. This is an important element in our Christian experience that many people miss. When you stay within yourself, you miss much of what God has for your life. Studying God's word changes our focus. Okay? I know all of us in here are always working in different ways, and we're busy, and we study when we can, and we grab pieces here and there. And I got to tell you, I've learned so much just coming out Sunday morning, listening to everybody talk. It's a wonderful thing. But when we're focused in those directions, that's where we're going to find the will of God. That's where we're going to find our gifts. That's where we're going to find opportunities. That's where we're going to find, oh, there's a thought. Maybe I could do that. Whatever. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." It is God's desire that we understand it. We get it through study, but it is his desire. It's a focus. And why? Does it make any difference? It does make a difference in the world. But if I decide not to follow the will of God, guess what? I could be as miserable as I want to be. And I've been there many times. I've worn that t-shirt. Fall away from any kind of spiritual focus, fall away from any kind of fellowship. I'm on my own, especially if you can't find a grace dispensational fellowship. You know, after a while, you're on your own all the time. You might, today with the internet, you can get a lot of stuff. Years ago, you could not. You know, I would go for years without having a Bible study. Years. It's a lot better to have Bible study. It's a lot better to have fellowship, to be with, to share and grow. Wonderful thing. These verses tell us that God's will needs to be and can be understood quite clearly. So if somebody's running around saying, I don't understand the will of God, I don't understand the will of God, let's get them rightly dividing the word of truth, and let's get them studying their Bible, and it's going to become pretty clear to them. If we are willing to study and know his word rightly divided, focus in the right direction, everything becomes clear, full of peace and joy. God wants us, I got a little capital letter, so you got to read that with emphasis. God wants us to fully understand this and walk wisely. Okay? That's what he's intending to have us do. That's where we should be. What is God's will? It begins with salvation. That's the first part of his will. If you're genuinely saved and you understand your salvation, then that's fine. But if you're not, that's where it begins. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. So it's a big read. So somebody with a big, comfortable, powerful, confident voice. Anyway.
And the pastor gets selected.
Okay, Ephesians what?
Chapter 2,
verses 5 through 10. I'm looking at the 5 through 10. Okay, I got it. 35, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Five verses says it all. You want to mark those or keep those in your wallet? You want to get back to a focus on where you need to be? It's really that simple. I want you to look at verse 8. How many thousands and millions and trillions and trillions and trillions of us have read that, for by grace be saved through faith, thinking we're talking about my faith? Okay? That's what the church teaches. We're talking about my faith in this. Wait a minute. No. We're talking about the faithfulness of Christ to go through it, which I accept. So you want to call that exception faith? Fine. But it's the faithfulness of Christ to carry it out. That verse in modern Christianity has been totally warped.
Yep.
For billions and billions of years.
But it says, let not of yourself.
Yep. But see, that's not important, okay? You just want to read it. As far as they're concerned, it's just what it said. You know what I'm saying? It's very confusing. When you look at it differently now, for the grace you saved through faith, Christ's faith, and that not of yourselves. Yeah, of course, has not of me. But that's not what the modern church believes, okay? When you take your ego, when you take all this central focus that you're trying to do to please God out of the picture and let his finished work get the job done, everything changes for you. Yes, sir.
But here's something, Dave, that I've watched, and Danny's an attester to this. When people go to the assemblies or whatever denomination mm-hmm. it is, they just really, really believe that pastor. So they think that their faith is in the right place. I've got my Bible. I'm there on Wednesday night. I'm there on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm at all the singings. What else kind of faith do I need? They're just being misled.
And you know what, though? If you, I believe this absolutely totally misled in a big way. But if you can get those people individually sometimes and get them to talk about whether they're at peace with God and honestly focus on it, they'll go, no, not really. I'm still worried about this. I'm still concerned about this. I'm still trying to do this. I wonder if this is good enough. I tried to do this. I've been this way since I was 12. Or I did this when I was 16 years old. It doesn't matter. They're not at peace. They're really not at peace. There's a gnawing in their soul. Yeah, I'm wondering what they're doing wrong, why God isn't blessing them, why they're feeling this or whatever. You know, it's amazing. My heart goes out to them. I cry. Yes.
The one verse that you gave a little earlier, which is really a lot of times, you can point this out to people, and I've been doing this, that it's about the faith of Christ, it's not about
right.
your faith. Well, what happens is, well, the Bible can be interpreted any way that you want. And, everybody has their own interpretation. That's what they end up doing.
I just say to them, what does it literally say? What do the words say? Forget about interpretation ones. Let's go to the words. How can you put these words together any other way than rightly dividing truth? Because otherwise you're compromised.
It's just very clear that that faith is a gift.
Yeah.
So anyways, here's what my point was. You opened with this, and it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened until they see that coming from God. Not from you.
Right.
But coming from God to them.
Yep.
They'll never get it.
Until they finally understand how salvation works.
That's it.
Right.
And that's the reason, going back to what is the will of God? The will of God is that they would see it.
Yeah.
Make all men see what is the mystery of the gospel. And it says make them. But you've got to keep giving them the word on a constant basis.
Well, and you know what? You have to have some knowledge to share with people. Right?
Yeah.
Well, the really sad thing is the majority of them think that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're being taught right.
Right.
They've learned right. They're doing right. They're doing everything right. And they don't know any better because they don't rightly divide the word truth, and they don't study God's word, and so they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't figure out. I didn't figure it out until I got in here and I started figuring things out and started coming. Hey man, where have you been?
But you know what?
It was based a lot on me and what I was doing.
Sure.
And Christ did.
You ended up here because you weren't satisfied, because your soul was not at peace. Yes.
I think sometimes it's that reading the Bible through in a year, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah,
you're reading
right.
And reading and reading, and you're reading fast, you're reading quickly. I want to get my three chapters in, and you're not really reading each word and seeing what this is really saying to me.
What's the big picture here? Yeah.
Well, you may be reading it, but you're not studying it.
Right.
The Bible tells you to study.
And you're not letting it emotionally connect.
I think where the similes go wrong to me is they work out of a King James Bible, and this to a preacher, and he gives his commentary on it. So they're taking it for what he has to say and not what actually says.
Right, and they have to bend it a lot to get the job done.
But Danny, they're moving away from King James, because I saw it in the Sunday school literature, because I attend every once in a while to be with my stepmother, and there's the NIV right beside the King James, right in the Sunday school literature. Can you believe that?
Wow.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, we need to pray for these people because a lot of them are seeking something. They're just in the wrong place, you know.
See, they believe in plain area verbal inspiration of the scriptures. What that means is that you don't have the real Bible in front of you here. In other words, it's in the original languages, and so you can use any languages. And you can take out whatever. You just pick and choose whichever one you want. That's true.
And I'll tell you. The Assemblies of God in Lakeland, you know, where Richard and I went to school, the professors would very clearly say 2% is in error.
Of the Bible, of the King James.
Yes.
Just going in, huh?
They did.
Very sad. Very sad. But you know what? Everyone in this room was in a religious system at some point and was seeking more. And if you're at home watching today, you're seeking more. You're listening to this because your religious system is failing you and had failed you. It wasn't reaching you. You knew there was more. There was something else that had to make sense. Irma fought it for years when we were together. We had some great arguments. Talk about being graceful. I was working it for all I was worth. But the point is, because she grew up with a ton of religion and no true spirituality, and she's just totally lost. Yes.
There's too many people in the religious system that are, you know, they're they were saying earlier, they're putting their faith in whatever that preacher says. They're not even studying it for themselves. And, you know, he's up there. He's a man of God. He wouldn't be up there if he wasn't chosen. You know, but then you have that scripture that says ministers of darkness working as ministers of light.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
And what's really interesting is we're hitting the nail on the head. It's just that they don't see it. In other words, like when I went to Bible college, that we had to study systematic theology. And people don't realize that they're being funneled into a system.
Yeah.
And the choice is, I mean, you either rightly divide the word of truth or you follow a system. And people like to follow systems. In other words, when we're raised up as a small child, you know, you step in line. When everybody stands up, you stand up. When everybody sits down, you sit down. And you have to learn how to conform. Conformity is the name of the game.
And you don't think for yourself.
And you don't think. That's right. And so, I mean.
So this is a room full of rebels.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are.
Exactly.
I prefer to think of us as independent thinkers.
Independent thinkers. Now, here's the point. Richard's got a good point there, and that is, How do we reach these folks? And I'll tell you the number one way is by the way you interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
The way you treat them, the way you deal with them, the way you do whatever you need to do makes them think. And it creates opportunities. That's all it can do. All we can do is, you know, an opportunity opens up, share what we know, and let God handle it from there. You follow me? Those opportunities come, though, when people want to know why you're doing it. Okay? I mean, in the business I'm in, little Jimmy will tell you, all my competitors' equipment breaks. They call me, and I let them have a camera. I got 5 cameras. You need a camera? Come use one. If you break it, fine. You got to fix it. But other than that, you can use it. They all know that. They come and get my lights. They come and get my cameras. They come and get my gear when they need it. And people go, why do you do that? That's your competition. Because there's not enough work in all this area for all of us to survive anyway. So, you know, I wish anybody the best of luck. You follow me? It's how we do things. And then people go, yeah, he's a little different. And I've had the opportunity to share my faith in God. I always say, I'm at peace with my creator. That's the opening line I use. It's just my style. And if they want to know more, they're going to ask. If they go, okay, he's nuts. Just today on the way over, Eric, the guy I'm working with, feature film, the guy we're doing the film about, who is a crazy character, who is somewhat spiritual, he thinks he's spiritual. I said, yeah, come to a Bible study, blah, blah, blah. What was this? What did he say back in the text? I'm a solo spiritualist. God talks to me directly, and I'm good, thanks. You know what? I've got an entire year to work on him. I do. And I will. Slowly but surely keep showing him the love of Christ over and over and over again. And one day, he will come in here, and you'll meet Eric, and he's Mr. High Energy. Oh, my God, he makes me look like I'm asleep.
Okay. He's bouncing off the wall.
He builds the walls. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people, especially in the workforce, they want to have things done right. And, you know, they're to the taskmaster.
Right.
In other words, do it my way or it's the highway. You know, but the work of righteousness shall be peace and assurance forever. It's a completely different program entirely. And so that's what's amazing to them. What works with them is the hammer.
Yep. And the reality is take your ego out of it and let Christ have the glory.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Okay. And that's radical. That's very radical. It's religion. Because then you can't control people. You know? No control. Bummer.
Oh, yeah.
But this
pastors was just go nuts over that.
Yeah, they do. They do. My people. I get kicked out of churches saying I can't teach that to my people because they'll sin.
Right.
They actually said that to me. I said, no. Yeah. It's a bigger picture. No, my people will sin if you teach them that. Guess what? They're already sinning. But let's talk about how you can prevent them. You know? And I was, I was 19. And I had 25, 30 people in this Sunday school class that started out with 4. There were 30 adults in there. And they fired me, you know, and people came to me and said, why aren't you teaching? I said, because I don't want to split the church. It's not my job. I didn't, at that time in 19, I didn't have the confidence to say, they're crazy, let's start a new church. I should have, but I didn't.
Anyways, we have an uncle that's a Church of God preacher, and he had almost a nervous breakdown because there's 5 people in his church who were having affairs, and it was supposed to be a holiness church.
Yeah.
You know. And it just didn't match up, and he couldn't figure this out.
They were just sharing a love.
That's just the ones he knew about.
That's true. All right, so let's get back to our study. You know,
it's gone off the rails, Dave.
From adultery to whatever. But it's salvation. I've got to read that. Salvation's the first step. You can read that whole paragraph. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is why it's the first step. We've read this verse many times, but let's go and read it again. Yeah? See, Jimmy,
the natural man receives not the name of God through the food, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned.
That's exactly right. And this is where we run into problems with people who are full of religion. If they do not have salvation, they're not going to understand this. It has to start with them understanding salvation. And I always talk about the mechanics of salvation. That gets people's attention. I'll say to them, hey, how are you saved? I have faith in Jesus. I say, wait a minute, what does that mean? I say, I keep pushing them. And when you start to explain to them that you have to be in the body of Christ, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, because that body's already paid the price. That's the propitiation. And it was Christ's faithfulness, so you can all tie it together. It was his faithfulness to carry this out, to make that happen, so you'd have that opportunity. Wow, it opens their eyes. Because they're like, saved by faith. That's all they know. That's what David preached. They don't know anything.
Their faith.
Their faith, yeah. Saved by my faith. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. So is the devil. Okay? Have you accepted the finished work of Christ and his faithfulness to carry out what had to be done for you to have salvation? Makes them think, you know, I'm in the body of Christ. Well, if I'm in the body of Christ, how'd I get there? You know what I mean? There's a lot you can talk to him about there. We must be a member of God's family before we can know his will in our lives. Otherwise, it is very confusing. We must understand the mystery given to Paul. This is where you can take him to the next level of let's begin to start understanding some of this stuff. Somebody read Romans 16:25.
Now to him the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
Ask somebody what that verse means. And they'll go, I don't know. I never really looked at it. Because they haven't. They've never been shown this. You know? What does it mean, the revelation of the mystery? What is he talking about? It was kept secret since the world began? What do you mean kept secret? You can start a dialogue to get them to understand where we're at, dividing the word of truth. You know, the revelation of the mystery, I asked a big Methodist minister who do a lot of work for. This is a dangerous thing, so asking your clients questions. You might do some projects. But I asked him, I said, what is this mystery? Well, that's the mystery that God loved man. That was his answer. Okay? To them, that's the mystery. That God would love man. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9.
And it made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, proposed in himself.
Right. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You want to know the mystery of God's will? Focus in the right place. It's as simple as that. Okay? First of all, be saved. Accept the finished work of Christ for your justification. He's done. Finished. Complete. You can't work for it. You can't do anything for it. It's finished. That's where it starts. Secondly, let's focus in the right place. Study your Bible, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a good clarification earlier. Know that it's all because of Christ's faithfulness. Our salvation is accepting what he, Christ, did, and his faithfulness, not your works or actions. If you're out there in watching at home, listen to this very closely. It is a significant departure from the modern church or religion will teach you. They are based on performance model and are totally focused on your good works. Are they not? Well, we've got to do this and this and this. We've got to show up Sunday. We've got to show up Wednesday. We've got to put money in the offering plate, 10% minimum. But if you really want to be blessed, you better pour some more money in it. Seriously, I mean, watch TV, you can see it all the time. I've been to those churches, I've visited, I've seen it. You know, it's just amazing what we hear. And placing your performance in a position of judgment. Look at him, he's not like me. Look at him, he's not like me. Look at that denomination, they're not like me. Let's all judge everybody, because that way we can separate ourselves. Instead of accepting the finished work of Christ, which includes everyone. And there's no difference. A level of success that must be reached to please God to receive any benefits. You want to get blessed, you better get living right. Okay? As opposed to focusing right. And that's the difference. Focus your intentions on studying the Bible and things, and when those blessings come along, you'll be ready to have them. You'll be in the right place to receive them and understand them. God delivers the blessings. My old UPS store. If you're not at the door to sign for them, you don't get them. But they're still delivered. No one home. Box goes away. Okay? Focus in the right place. A place that is not biblically true if you rightly divide what they have. It's not biblically true if you rightly divide the word of truth and understand how God is currently dealing with man today. Okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. This kind of helps us focus at the end. Read this through and help people understand this because it changes everything. Well, it's their salvation, period. But it changes everything.
And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ.
I'm sorry, the faith of who?
The faith
and of Christ, exactly.
And not just like we've heard it, be bound in him. I want to be bound in him.
Amen.
Not in Jim. Be bound in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death.
Wonderful. Last part of verse 9, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My faith or Christ's faith?
Christ's
faith, exactly. I access that. You want to call that faith? Belief? Fine, whatever you want to call it, give it a term. But it is the faithfulness of Christ that allows me to access it. It allows me to place the righteousness of what he did onto me and put me in the body of Christ where I am saved, where I stand perfected before God, for God sees day through Jesus' sunglasses. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't see me at all. Okay, very important. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, someone.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Doesn't get any clearer than that. By the faith of Jesus Christ. The next line, he clarifies what we're talking about here. Even we who believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the faith of Christ that gets the job done. There's no other way to look at it. And that's how we end up being saved and back again with God. Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, okay, or the patience, or whatever you want to say, of God. Propitiation. Propitiation means it is as if it never existed. It's not just paying the debt. It's as if the debt never existed. Now, that's a pretty wonderful place to be. You want to be at peace? Understand that. Let that sink in for a minute. Because none of us need that, right? We're all so good.
It also means that he is the wrath of God. And the thing about it is, people are, you know, under that curse. They're under the wrath of God. They don't know what's wrong, but there's something wrong in their life. I know before I got saved, there was always something that was wrong, not quite right. And that's what I think we need to focus in on, people. That, you know, if you know that something's not right in your life.
Oh, yeah. That matter.
But just the things you're saying, I know that you're messed up on the inside. Yeah.
As we all are. We need to say that to people when we're talking to them about sin. You know, it makes people feel uncomfortable when you go, yeah, I know you've got a lot of sins in there. And you don't say anymore. Or say, I bet I got more. You know, whatever. You know, let them know we're all in the same boat. Helps them understand it. Helps them to get the focus on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Somebody?
I want to make a comment too.
Sure.
They're under condemnation. There is no condemnation.
That's right.
And that's the difference. I mean, I'm so glad I'm out from under condemnation. I mean, that's a horrible place to be.
You know they're under condemnation because they have to ask for forgiveness all
yes.
the time.
They have to ask for forgiveness. They have a set of rules they got to live by. All that stuff is all part of their lives, yeah. I mean, Irma was killing us with the water bills in the shower and praise and prayer in the morning. It's just like water bills, $600 a month. And now it's down to like, you know, 50, 60. It's great. Yeah. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, somebody. Anybody?
For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink of one spirit.
Yeah, that's where we end up. Again, our position, our focus, our understanding. You want to know the will of God? Be in the right place. And Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So our salvation is chema, our focus. The full intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ is critical to our understanding of God's will for our lives. The more we know, the more we're going to be focused in the right place, the more our emotions, our ideas, our looks, our focuses, they all take place. This includes understanding about propitiation, being the body of Christ, understanding and grace. All these free us to live with God and keep our focus on godly issues and not on worldly failures and problems. Do you think Satan wants you to spend a whole bunch of time talking about, thinking about how bad you were and what you've done and how that? Nope, he really does. Satan does, yes, I'm sorry. Satan wants you to focus on your failure. He wants you to focus on your problems, your issues, whatever it is. God doesn't. God's like, what are you talking about? I don't quite understand, Dave. What are you wasting some time doing this for? Where's your focus?
Mm-hmm. I want to say this. You know, we've said this a number of times. It was, well, can't you preach anything else but the gospel?
It's the cornerstone.
That's like you said, the focus needs to be on the gospel. And the more we understand about the gospel, the more effective we're going to be. And the thing about it, we need to grow in the grace of God. What is that? The gospel, understanding it. Being able to
understanding all the aspects of it, understanding
right, what it exactly, means. Like propitiation, that's right. Part of the gospel.
Yeah, very important. I mean, if you're not focused in the right direction, worldly religious focuses you on your problems. oh, you didn't do this, you went to the movies, you didn't do that, you lusted after this, you ate too much, you spoke, you drank, doesn't matter. There's a million things they focus on, and anything they can.
Yes, they go on like the promises in the Old Testament. If you do this, God will do it.
Sure.
And that's all about that.
Yep.
So you're trying to do this, do that, do that thing.
Yep.
The
and when it doesn't happen, then it's your faith is not strong enough.
Yeah, God's big.
Yep. He's not giving you those blessings because there's something in your life you need to take care of. I know it's in there. Let's go find it. Let's go dig for it. Guess what? If you understand your position in Christ, there is nothing in your life. You are a clean slate. And you're going to be a clean slate 4 o'clock this afternoon. And as Pastor said, when those Hardee's commercials come on and they show those cute little models doing their thing and you think badly, you're going to be in the right place. It's so important to understand that. Okay, because what it does is it frees you from all that negativity of your sin to do the right thing, to make a difference in the world, to go out there and make, when somebody needs help, help them. Because you're not focused on, oh, I'm miserable and this and that, or I'm not focused on, I'm going to do this and get a blessing. Okay, you're not. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it feels wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Martin Luther King said the best phrase, and the phrase was misplaced. He wanted social freedom. But he said, free at last, thank God I'm free at last.
Yeah.
And that's what the gospel does.
Yep.
I mean, it gives you, I mean, absolute and total freedom.
And it then gives you the power because of the joy of it.
Yeah.
To really do things and really make a difference in the world. Number three, know the truth. This is where many Christians fall short. Any idea what time it is? What are we doing here? I have no idea. No, the clock in the back wall has died. 5 minutes left? Okay, well,
we get to finish it next week.
No, it's only a couple of things. The point is, we've gone through a lot of it anyway. You know, knowing the truth is the first thing that God wants in each of us, all right? 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All right? And Ephesians 1:17-18 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of glory and his inheritance in the saints. This is our focus. This is what happens. This is where we go. And this is where we understand our relationship with God. And that's where we get our will. You want to know the will of God? Understand where you're at. Rightly divide the word of truth. Study. And it's going to become really obvious to you. Real quickly, I got a couple verses you can read later. The one I want to close with, which is very important, we'll finish up there. I'm going down toward the end of the page here. It says, the result of being saved, accepting the finished work of Christ, and not our efforts, is key. Okay, it's after Ephesians 5:15-17. The results of being saved, accepting the finished work of Christ, and not our own efforts, is key. Studying the word rightly divided truth and seeking to understand God's love and grace will keep you focused on doing the will of God. That's it. That's the answer to finding the will of God. You'll be focused in the right area when you study, grow, and continue in the word of truth. Your life will reflect God's love, and he will be able to work through you to accomplish many great things. None of us are done learning. None of us are done growing. None of us are done doing great things, because they're going to happen. Yes, sir.
Here's the other thing, too. You know what? The greatest thing in the world is to be saved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's the point. When you're sealed under the day of redemption, the focus is also sealed. And don't you ever get tired of talking about the gospel? Never. Because I'm focused. Why am I focused? My focus has been sealed in Christ.
It's so wonderful. And I never get tired of it because the world needs it. You know, we are a very small group of folks who understand this. The world is huge. Heaven's going to have a lot less people in it, sadly, very sadly, than we know. It's a very sad situation that's going to happen. And we try all the time through our lives, through whatever, through opportunities, through sharing, through inviting people to come here, whatever it might be. We do ways to try to help people see this. And that's all we can do. You know what I mean? And we're motivated by it. Yes.
Jeremiah said that Moses was set like a flint. And those sparks just flew. No, it was put his nose on his
to the grindstone.
The grindstone.
Yeah.
And that's the way we are with the gospel. I mean, and sparks are going to fly, and we just keep at it.
Yeah, it's very important. When you focus in the right place on God, and that yourself, focus in the right place on God, and that, terrible writing, and that yourself, a wonderful thing happens. Your direction and God's will automatically plays out. God's will becomes second nature to us. We must always remember, once saved, where we live. Galatians 2:20 to finish this up. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's because we're in the body of Christ. Remember, folks, how do you get saved? How does it happen? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The focus is on Christ. Salvation is important. You accept the finished work. It's as simple as that. And then you begin that journey toward the will of God, which you'll be amazed will happen in your life. The more you study, the more you learn, the more I teach, the more I get into the Word, putting together lessons. Wonderful, wonderful blessings happen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great interaction today, discussion, the classroom, the people, and the joy we have in being in you, and being our position in Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you that we have, and hopefully everyone in this room, has accepted, understood the justification of Christ's faithfulness, and that they've not just understood it by head knowledge, but they have allowed it to be their driving force. They have accepted it. It has become who they are, and they are understanding of that and accepting of that, and that's where their finish is. We thank you that you have shown these things to us, that we've been able to study and understand more as we rightly divide truth. We ask to give each of us an opportunity this week to share what we know, to share the love of Christ, to be an ambassador in some way, in some opportunity. And when it happens, if somebody wants to know more, give us the words. Even if it's just to invite them out and say, hey, there's a crazy study I go to. Whatever it is, give us those opportunities this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.